We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we're joined by a very special guest, a longtime friend of the program in Dave Matter, who covers Missouri athletics for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Dave, how are you?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, sure to appreciate your time, and also just wanted to hear what the reaction was to the very nice piece you did last week ahead of Tennessee's trip to Columbia to take on Missouri in baseball of former Tiger assistant Tony Vitello, as he now leads the Tennessee baseball program into a matchup this week as number four against number one Arkansas. But what was it like? What was the reaction like to your piece just saying, here's a former Tiger who's leading a program that is kicking up some dust in the Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, that story is probably more popular in your listening area than it was in St. Louis, Columbia market, just because of all the success that Tony has had in Knoxville and not had in Columbia at the program that could have hired him if they would have gone a different route, 4 years ago or so. But I got some feedback. I think there's still some disgruntled Missouri fans that would have loved to have seen him be the choice. Now, that doesn't mean he still would be in Missouri, because frankly, he's making a lot more money at Tennessee than a Missouri baseball coach has ever made and maybe ever will make. But I think it's worked out really well for him. Missouri fans, you know, there's not a lot of them that pay much attention to baseball these days, and I'm sure they'd love to see him back in Columbia, but that's not going to happen.
You've known Tony for quite some time. Did you think that this was kind of just waiting in the wings for him, that he would get the opportunity to take over a program and be able to build it as he has here in Knoxville?
Yeah, I think it was pretty obvious just the success that he had, not only at Missouri, but when he left, when he went to TCU and you know, was able to recruit at such a high level there. And then did the same thing on the big stage in Arkansas in the SEC. It just was a matter of time where, you know, he gained so much wisdom and experience working under Tim Jamison at Missouri for so long, and was really the key to all their recruiting efforts, was considered a really good young pitching coach, and he did other things within the program too, to the point where Missouri just couldn't afford to keep him anymore. I mean, he could command more money on the open market, and they really made an effort, and I think it was 2010, to keep him on the staff. But he had created this opportunity for himself to go out and, you know, work somewhere else, make some more money for himself, build a future, and try to, put himself in position to be a head coach. And obviously he's done that at Tennessee and done it as well as anybody in the country right now with what he's built in Knoxville. It really is impressive.
Dave, is it even more impressive when you consider the SEC in baseball is dynamite? There are so many great teams, so many ranked teams. And so then to see a team that has not done well to rebuild that quickly, does that make what Vitello has done at Tennessee even more impressive to you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's not like he stepped into, you know, LSU or, you know, Mississippi State or Vanderbilt or Florida or some program that's won at a national level here recently. What he's done there is just, it is so impressive. And I've seen it up close here at Missouri on how hard it is to win in the SEC and to just get out of the basement like Missouri's been at. Missouri's a really solid Big 12 program. I mean, they've produced a lot of pros, and Max Scherzer is number one on the list for sure. Tony's good buddy, who he recruited and coached and remains close friends with. And Missouri was games and pumping out pros. They won a couple of Big 12 titles, one tournament title, one regular season title under Tim Jamison. And then they go to the SEC, and it's just a whole different ballgame. I mean, just the level of talent on the field is superior. The fan support, the administration support is just something that Missouri is just not very familiar with, because it's always been, you know, very, very much a secondary non-revenue sport at Missouri. And it's really, really hard to even get on a even playing field or even close to that and compete in this conference. And Missouri has learned that. It's been so hard for them. So that, I think, underscores what a tremendous job Tony has done at a place that, like you guys said, you know, hasn't had a lot of great success in the last, you know, decade plus.
What's been his key to success? Has it been recruiting, are putting together a highly efficient staff?
Well, I think the staff continuity is a big one that maybe doesn't get as much attention. And just I know here at Missouri, Steve Beazer has gone through a handful of assistant coaches and made a lot of changes. And some of that's just not having maybe the resources to pay, and you got to shuffle things around all the time. But for Tony to keep his staff in place and get guys that he really wanted working for him and with him has been a big part of their success. And just if you ask him, he'll tell you that. But I think it all comes down to just getting elite talent on the field, and he is so good at recruiting. Just I think it's his personality. I think it's his relentless approach. And he's got a track record. He can sell now. I mean, he had one as an assistant coach. You could say, hey, look at all these pros that I recruited and developed at Missouri that are making big-time money now and pitching in the big leagues. And then he can now point to, the success that he had at TCU and doing the same thing with the Arkansas guys. And now he can point to head coaching experience. He didn't have that part of his resume when he was trying to get the Missouri job, or maybe even when he first started in Tennessee. But now the proof is in the pudding, and it's right there. Hey, I can develop a top 10 national championship College World Series caliber of roster. And, he's doing that right now.
Our guest, Dave Matter, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Dave, as you and Jimmy were talking about the challenges that go with building a program, I thought that in your conversation with Tony that you shared in the article that it was a perfect analogy he made, that you, one, have to be able to attract the talent that allows you to compete, and at the same time you have to compete or you won't get the talent, that it's tantamount to trying to climb two mountains at the same time, Mount Everest and Mount Kilimanjaro. And it really is a challenge, as Jimmy highlighted, the fact that this is the SEC, which some were thinking they might get as many as 11 teams in this year's NCAA tournament, which no conference has ever gotten more than 10. But just the depth of this sport in itself can make it just trying to bang your head against the wall to see if you can't get any different result from trying to climb out of the bottom of whichever division you're in.
Yeah, it's brutal. It really is. I mean, and the teams that are on top, they know they're going to get the best from competition every weekend. If you're a team at the bottom, like a Missouri is right now, I mean, it never ends. I mean, they played three-game homestand last week against Tennessee. We know it didn't go well for the Tigers. And now they've got to go to number three Mississippi State this weekend. So that's what it's like. I mean, there's no margin for error. There's no breathing room at all. It's really, really hard. And while you're trying to win those games on the field and keep your team healthy and put your team in position to win, at the same time, you got to be building your roster for the future and recruiting these young guys. And then you've got, I think, the biggest, maybe not the biggest challenge, but one of the big challenges, obviously, that college baseball coaches have is the draft. And there's so much uncertainty with that, because chances are the best players you sign will never even play for you, because they're going to get a chance to be drafted high. I know that's been a real not issue, but it's been a challenge for Missouri. Missouri's recruited some really good players over the last few years that never stepped foot on Missouri's campus. And, you got to supplement that with guys that are good players, but not good enough to go high. So it really is a tough assignment for anybody that can get one of these jobs coaching in the SEC, for sure.
As we've talked about, Tennessee has Tony Vitello, which in his fourth year at the helm, taking over the Volunteers program, and they're a top five team right now. It's also got to be a pretty neat feather for Missouri that a former teammate of his, while he was a Tiger, is now the manager of the San Diego Padres, which he's got a pretty young roster that I think is going to be in place for a pretty long time.
Yeah, for sure. It is. Missouri's not thought of as a baseball superpower by any means, but they really did under the Tim Jamison years, and Tony was a big part of that, and produced some great players. I mean, Jace Tingler, who was a really good player, all Big 12 type guy, and seemed like he was kind of destined for coaching and climbed up the ranks in the minor leagues and with a couple different major league franchises. Ian Kinsler played at Missouri, was an American League All-Star for a couple different clubs. Aaron Crow was a great pitcher, arguably a better pitcher than Scherzer in college, and went on to have not as long of a career, but he was had some good years as a reliever in the major leagues and a couple as a starter. So they really have produced a lot of good pitchers and not as much everyday players, hitters and that. And I think that's where Missouri struggled in the SEC to make that You face a Tennessee and you got these All-Americans up and down the lineup, and it's been that way at Florida. And, Vanderbilt has great pitching, but it's had great hitters too. But Missouri really has done a nice job of producing some star players back in the Big 12 days. They just haven't had many in the SEC days.
Hey, Dave, it seems like a ride on Rocky Top to worry about when you're going to lose a coach. They do it in every sport around here. So a lot of them are worried about losing Tony Vitello. How loyal do you think Vitello would be to Tennessee, given that they gave him that first opportunity to be a head coach?
You know, I think that means a lot. I mean, I know he got the raise and an extension. After 2 years on the job, taking Tennessee back to an NCAA regional. Just from talking to him the last couple of years, I think he believes he's got everything right there to, you know, make Tennessee a championship program. I know he was really, and I asked him about this the day that Danny White came to Knoxville, his first day, you know, publicly as the AD, he made a point to bring his family and visit with Tony in the football or in the baseball facility and get a tour and look around. And that made an impression on Tony. And I think also the fact that Danny spent some time at Ole Miss right when that program really made the jump from, you know, just kind of a middling program to one that can, compete for it all. And he was part of that there too. So he seemed pretty enthused about the new leadership and just the direction that the commitment that's been made. And even talking to his old head coach, Jameson, who's still in the game coaching out at Southern Illinois, one thing he pointed out to me the other day is, I know that Tennessee has taken care of Tony and they're giving him the resources and, making him happy there. So we'll see. I mean, they keep winning the way they are, and a big powerhouse established program is going to have an opening at some point. You got to think his name will be out there. But so far it seems like Tennessee has delivered and wants to keep him around for as long as possible.
Yeah. And one underrated thing about this state is they produce a lot of great baseball players. Moving on to football.
Yeah.
Eli Drinkwitz entering year number two. He's got a freshman quarterback coming back who had a really good year last year. What do you see for the Missouri Tigers this fall?
I think they've got a chance to, build on what they did last year. They went 5-5 against that all SEC schedule and finished alone in third place in the SEC East. And I think that's a obtainable goal to do again. I mean, they want to win the East. There's no doubt about that, but they've got to close the gap on Georgia and Florida. Closing the gap is a really common thing you're hearing around this program. They know who they are. They know where they are. They took care of beating teams last year, like South Carolina and Vanderbilt and Kentucky. Did lose to Tennessee early in the year, but I think by the end of the season, or at least after that game, Missouri was trending upward while the Vols were trending the other direction. But they feel like they're close. But they've got to make some progress on defense, and they overhauled that staff completely this offseason, bringing in Steve Wilks. And offensively, they just want to build on the things that they did last year with Connor Bazelak as a first-year starter. So they feel really good about how things are moving. I think just having a normal offseason will be good for this staff, because last year, they're still trying to get settled in, and then COVID hits and everything was so different. So I think a normal offseason, normal spring, which they got done with before any other team in the SEC, will be really positive for them going forward. And having a normal schedule too, where you don't open up, at home against Alabama, where you actually get some non-conference games to figure some things out, I think will be really good for them too.
I think a lot of schools are in that same boat. But,
yeah,
Dave,
sure.
There is a young man from Knoxville and a very talented running back, Elijah Young. Do you see good plans for him with the staff as he goes deeper into his time in Columbia?
Yeah, I think he's their number two running back this year. They lost Larry Roundtree, who was, a four-year starter who went to the Chargers in the sixth round of the draft. Really, he ended his career as Missouri's all-time rushing leader for running backs. So that leaves a lot of carries. He was a workhorse back. They bring back Tyler Beatty, who's been very solid number two guy, a really good pass catcher out of the backfield, but has never been, a 20-carry-a-game type running back, not even like a 15-carry-a-game running back. So they've talked about it having to be a little bit more of a committee approach. and Young was definitely the number two in spring camp. Now they're bringing in a couple other newcomers. They've got some freshmen coming in, but he is, without a doubt, going into camp, the guy that has the chance to get probably the second most carries behind Beatty, and it might even be an even deal. So he's somebody they're really high on.
Dave, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to talking to you again in the very near future to also get your thoughts on new Tennessee coach Josh Heupel, considering that you saw him up close for a little bit. But anyhow,
sure.
Really appreciate your time today and look forward to talking to you again in the very near future.
Great. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Dave Matter joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as he covers Missouri athletics for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.